whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Still here on The Fan in New York. Got 2 hours to talk sports. 888-808-1019. I don't know why you guys insist on going backwards for a franchise that needs to go forward.
J-E-T-S.
Just figure it out, man. With a GM and a new-aged head coach. You know? We're heading into the other half of the 2020s. You want to go back to 2008, 9? Like, not me. I wouldn't want to. 888-808-1019. Jets fans, call me up. Tell me who's calling the plays for Rex Ryan. I get the rah-rah. I get that he makes you feel something. I get that he won here. But, like, there is a reason why he has been out of the league doing television. There is a reason why nobody else is checking for him right now. Over the last 7 years, coaches are fired every year. He didn't get an opportunity anywhere else. I feel like it would, like, what would the point of interviewing all of these people be to just, you don't even have to, you just hire Rex Ryan. Could have hired him during the season. Could have fired Robert Saleh and hired Rex Ryan then.
Rex Ryan.
Matt is in River Edge. Matt, you're on The Fan. Go for it.
So, Keith, I'm sitting here. You're talking about you don't want to go back to the past. I'm in the car with my buddy right now. We just got Applebee's. And we're talking about the last time they remembered Jets winning. It was beautiful. You don't want to go back to the past. It's Sexy Rexy. He's got aura. Everyone wants to play for him. Why not bring him back, Keith? I don't understand it. Let's go have a snack.
Yeah, you have a snack. I don't know if they're still serving snacks at Applebee's after midnight. Thanks for the call, yo. How many kids have called WFAN? I heard a kid called WFAN talk about when he was 8 years old. You just referred to being in third grade. Like, man, things evolve and change so fast in this world. If you don't evolve, you will dissolve.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Like, I don't know if that line is working today. What are we talking about, snacks? Uncrustables? I think I heard that, like, the Cincinnati Bengals, they eat a ton of Uncrustables. I bought, like, 20 Uncrustables for my son, and then I come to find out my wife doesn't want to give them to him. It's too much sugar. He's already crazy as it is. She's like, nah, we can't do that. It's way too much sugar. Like, you can't give that to him. I'm like, I'm not about to cook for this guy. I'm not trying to make him a PB&J. The Uncrustable, I could just hand it to him. Let's go eat a goddamn snack. That's, you know what? That's good for HBO. That's good for Hard Knocks. They're not going to be on Hard Knocks again. They have to win immediately. And I don't know if, like, you know what happens too with the past? We don't remember it so well. We trick ourselves. Our mind plays tricks on ourselves to tell us it was greater than it was, right? You were in the third grade. Or you were 8 years old, you barely remember what went on in elementary school. But it was great. It was significant. It was fun. You beat the Colts. And nah, man. You gotta push forward into the future. Mario, Long Beach, back on The Fan. Go for it.
What's going on, Keith? Great show as always.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Did you see that on Amazon right now? They have a 3-part series on the evolution of the black quarterback in the NFL.
I got invited to the premiere. I couldn't make it to the premiere because I went to see the Yankees. I think it was around the time the Yankees were trying to clinch, and they did not clinch. But I, still, went to see the Yankees.
Did you watch any of them yet?
I didn't. I actually forgot about it.
They're really good.
I gotta put it in my notes. I don't usually have time to watch streaming stuff. You know, most people get in bed and watch streaming stuff at night. I come to work at night, so I really don't. And then nights that I'm off, I go to sleep. But I'll put it in my notes. I wanted to watch it. I'm going to put a reminder in. Maybe I can watch it during the day tomorrow. The evolution of the black quarterback. It's Michael Strahan's company that made the documentary.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. But it's very interesting. I didn't realize that that when, who was it, Warren Moon came out and he had to go to the Canadian Football League because they really didn't want black quarterbacks then. Also,
yep.
What's his name? Tony Dungy. I didn't realize he was a quarterback. He came out too. He changed positions, so he didn't have to leave the league, you know. And they were talking about it. And Michael Vick was really good.
Three-fifths of a man. Those black guys can't think fast enough to play the quarterback position. Yeah. Look at the wild card weekend coming up. Take a look.
Exactly. So my point here is I'm a huge Jet fan. So my point is on Rex. So Rex was with the team for 6 years, right? In 6 years, he was 4-2 in the playoffs. He made back-to-back AFC championship games. And do you know what he did in the playoffs that was completely unbelievable? Do you know what he did?
No, refresh my memory.
He won back-to-back away games against Brady and Manning.
Right. Was able to knock them off. Yeah.
Back-to-back Super MVPs and Hall of Famers. You know, now listen, I've been watching, the Jets haven't been in the playoffs, I think, in 10 years now, right? Something like this, right?
14, yeah.
14 years. So if you were to tell me I'm going to get a coach and in the next 6 years he's going to make back-to-back, he's going to make a couple of AFC championship games, six playoff games, I'd sign up in a heartbeat if I know he's going to do it. And I think Rex has a chip on his shoulder. He really wants to win in New York. He feels like he has some unfinished business. Nice talking to you. I'll listen to your comments and have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Mario. Again, I just think he's a last resort. You know he's there. I think he's a fallback plan. I think that if you don't find a younger guy or a new guy that excites you as Woody Johnson and Mike Tannenbaum, the 33rd team and whatever GM they hire come together, if there isn't a guy and if nobody wants a job, like, hold on, let's take a step back. How many times have you heard people say the job is not appealing? How many times have you heard people say, who wants that job? Why? Because one, you got to deal with Woody Johnson. Two, they haven't gone to the playoffs in 14 years. It's uphill. Three, if you're a new coach getting an opportunity to be a head coach for the first time, why would you take that opportunity where you could be 1-done, 2-done? You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you see how they just did Rob Saleh, and if you see how they just did Joe Douglas as a GM, like, we do got to think about that, too. I think Rex is there. You know he's there. You know he's there. He's definitely a better candidate than Ron Rivera, so cross him off the list. And Mike Vrabel, they interviewed, and he was like that Simpsons meme where the grandpa comes in, hangs his hat up, turns back around, takes the hat off, and walks out. 888-808-1019. Mike Vrabel was in there for an hour. Like, I'm good. They sent this message to Robert Kraft. That I'm interviewing here, that I'm in Florham Park, and now Robert would like to see me in the next couple days. So I just think the writing is on the wall for Mike Vrabel to be the next coach of the Patriots. Let's see who else the Jets rendezvous with. Let's see. You know what? Evan Roberts said this, and I'll say this before we end up talking about the Yankees, and I see there's a Giants call as well. I appreciate y'all. I always end up getting Yankee calls, and we can do the Yankee conversation. I'm counting down the days to spring training. February 11th, pitchers and catchers report. But Evan Roberts used the phrase, a Jets fan civil war. After what Jets fans have had to go through, do you really want to bring back Rex and cause a Jet fan civil war where half the fan base is going to be disappointed that you doubled back and you went back to a guy from 7 years ago that wasn't as great as we remember? And then what if he does not have success? They're like, there's going to be half the fan base that hates him, that hates Woody Johnson and hates Rex and hates the Jets even more. Start fresh. You have the opportunity to start anew. John out on Staten Island on the fan. What's up, John?
Hey, I wanted to Evan Roberts' comments from today, so that's a good way to kind of lead into my call. He mentioned, like, the Giants fans should get excited over Aaron Rodgers. And I just wanted to share, like, why I think that we should have nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not even remotely interested in having conversation with him. Like, what is he going to do? Bring over Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Lazard, and hack it with him? Like, I'm not interested in any of that. The Jets had one more win this year than the Giants did, and we had like a million different quarterbacks that were terrible. Like, what is he going to do? Get us one more win next year? Like, I'm really not interested. Even if we get like bring in a new quarterback, like, I also want to get your opinion on this. I know that Shador and Cam are the top two quarterbacks in the draft right now, but I saw some things on Twitter where, like, if Drew Aller has like a really good game tomorrow night, he could be a top 10 pick. I would be interested if the Giants, if like he fell to the Giants at three, and if like he's not in the draft, I'd be totally okay with like Hunter at three and then Jackson Dart, you know, in the second round. And then I did want to add a Yankee point. Now, I'm actually okay with the Yankees doing nothing, letting the season go through. And if the Reds were bad, like, I was thinking about Ellie De La Cruz, if like we could make a big trade for him at the deadline and put him at third, and he kind of fits like everything that we would need, like athletic infielder, can run the bases.
They're not trading Ellie De La Cruz. I got to stop you right there. That guy's a phenom. They'd be fools. Imagine them giving the Yankees Ellie De La Cruz.
If we got Sasaki and we had more tools to throw out there and they're doing really bad and they want to sell.
No, their fans would revolt. That guy is generational. When he came here,
I agree.
And faced the Yankees, I was sitting behind home plate and I knew the home run he hit into the bullpen, it was on a line. The triple that he hit down the line, he's a gazelle. I'm like, this guy's a freak. I'm like, he shouldn't even be playing baseball. He doesn't even look like he should be on the diamond. They're not trading Ellie De La Cruz. He's sick.
He's a freak. I would love to get a guy like that. I would like another like really athletic infielder to go along with Jazz. Obviously, with the pitching that we added, that'd be really nice. Especially like I know that there's like rumors about Luis Arraez. Like obviously his batting average is sick, but we just added Freed and like our pitching. We bolstered our pitching, and we don't need another glove that's inconsistent. So I would be disinterested. I'd love to hear your thoughts on like Drew Aller getting added into the mix into like the top five picks and what you thought on that. And I'll listen to the rest of like how you felt about that.
Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, I'll say this. You know, going back to Aaron Rodgers. No. Let's do a quick exercise because I wanted to do this anyway. You know, coming off of Mario out on Long Beach, his call. Let's just look at Wild Card Weekend and the quarterbacks that are in, right? C.J. Stroud, young, under 25. Justin Herbert, how old is Justin Herbert? Might be just at 25. He's 26. So in that matchup, you've got a quarterback, both of those guys drafted in the top five picks, young quarterback. It's so easy to see what works here. Stroud is 23. He's also a black quarterback. The Ravens and the Steelers. Lamar Jackson has been around for a while, but Lamar Jackson came into the league young. He's 28. And then the Steelers have the oldest quarterback, but they probably wish they had another quarterback. They probably wish Justin Fields was a little bit better. Russell Wilson was at the UVA football camp with me. When I was coming up, we worked out together at UVA. So that tells you how old Russell Wilson is. We're the same age. We're the same year. Russell Wilson is maybe done after a year. They're not going to win anything. They're going to be smoked. They're going to be done. Russell Wilson and I are the same age. These old quarterbacks, no. Oh, let's see. The next game. And that's two black quarterbacks facing off, Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson in that game. The Broncos go to face the Bills. Bo Nix is 24, spent a decade in college. Still young. Versus Josh Allen. Josh Allen is young, but not that young, 28. Those two farm boys, those guys are going to have a great battle, but ultimately you expect the Bills to win. Neither one of those guys are black, if you needed to know that. But they're young. They're under 30. 24 and 28. They're young. They're young quarterbacks. Okay, in the Packers-Eagles game, rematch of the Brazil game to open up the season. Jordan Love, black quarterback, 26. versus Jalen Hurts, black quarterback, 26. Both of those guys, big payday. They're young. Both of those guys, steals of the draft. Both of those guys fell in the draft, but they were drafted by those franchises. Okay, let's go to the Commanders-Buccaneers game. Only one black quarterback there, Jaden Daniels. This time last year, Jaden Daniels thought he might, you know, get traded up for by the Giants. 24-year-old phenom. First year as a rookie in the playoffs. Going up against, I'm feeling dangerous. I woke up feeling dangerous. Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, who the Browns did wrong. But you know what? They wrote him off. He didn't write back. Baker's 29. He got paid too. But still a young quarterback. I'm not talking about 41 years old going on 42 next season. The Vikings and Rams. Now, this is where we're getting up there in age a little bit. Matt Stafford is also my year. I remember being in a magazine with Matt Stafford. He was the number one quarterback coming out my year. I remember looking at him. He came out of Dallas, Texas. Him and Clayton Kershaw went to the same high school. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? He's 36. I don't know how many years he has left to play. But he's not 41, 42. Sam Darnold as well is the other matchup. Neither one of those are black quarterbacks. 27 years old. But like, you see what I'm talking about here? There's two 36-year-old quarterbacks. The rest of the quarterbacks are under 30. And then going back to Mario in Long Beach talking about the evolution of the black quarterback. I mean, almost half the quarterbacks are black in the playoffs. So you need a young black quarterback. But now Cam Ward is not a first-round quarterback, and Shedeur Sanders is in a first-round grade, and he can't lead it. Please, please. Now back to Drew Aller. Hey, it's the hype machine. I hope he balls out against Notre Dame tonight. I hope he does, and I hope we can at least, you know, keep adding him to the conversation. Like Drew Aller, 6'5", 240, Penn State, 20 years old, turning 21 right before the combine in the draft. If he goes to the championship and wins it for Penn State, why would he go back to school, go to the NFL, get that money, kid? Then, yeah, if he's available at three, you take Drew Aller. You take Drew Aller. That would be great for the Giants. But if he goes back to school, you don't reach for a Jalen Milroe, you don't reach for a Jackson Dart at three. You either A, take the best player available, which will be Travis Hunter, an instant impact two-way player star, who's going to sell jerseys, who's going to go to practice and take his ass home and drive his girl to go party and drink and sit outside the party waiting on her to finish grinding on dudes, and then he's going to drive her home because he doesn't drink, he doesn't party, he's not a problem like that. The kid just wants the ball, so much so he could have probably been a basketball player. I was telling y'all the other night, go look up his clips of him dunking the basketball, crossing guys up, watching him hoop. Like, when I played football and the football players would go to the, like, rec area or go to the big gym, like, the football players that could play football and basketball, I'm like, those are the guys. I was in between. I'm not going to hold you. I wasn't like that. I was better at football. I was more of a brute. But some of the guys that could play football and basketball, those are the pure athletes. This kid's a pure athlete. You take Travis Hunter. If you don't want Travis Hunter, which I don't know why you wouldn't want, then you take calls on Travis Hunter. You see who does want him. And Joe Shane, let's see how good of a GM you are. You got to fleece somebody. You got to finesse somebody and trade back. And when you trade back, wherever you are, you assess the quarterbacks that are available. Maybe you reach for a Jackson Dart at the bottom of the draft. Or, again, you take the best available because you won three games this year and you need a lot of talent. 888-808-1019. I would not sign up for Aaron Rodgers on any NFL team. And definitely not here in Jersey. It didn't work. He's going to be 42. I think he might be closer to retirement than you guys realize. He might just be done. And then Drew Aller, he might want to go back to Penn State. He's a legend. I mean, he's taking Penn State to the national championship if they knock off Notre Dame, which I'm rooting for Notre Dame. I got to lean on. I think Notre Dame's going to beat him. But like, what? Drew Aller walking around with Happy Valley? Baddies on deck. Like, why would he want to leave? He's already making millions at Penn State. I don't think he's going to go to the draft, but somebody may convince him. And then Luis Arraez, as we start to switch to the Yankees' lukewarm stove.
I would get him. I don't care. I don't care. You need a leadoff hitter. It's been too many years you don't have a leadoff hitter. I would get him. Figure it out. See what he's available for. AJ Preller. You want to take Marcus Stroman in the deal? I'll get him. And I try and figure it out, man. I take that bat. I think that you've improved so many other places that it's not like he's going to damn you. But I do understand the theme of run prevention and defense and fundamentals and tightening the screws on this thing. So why would you add a Luis Arraez who's non-athletic, can't run, you know? Why would you add him? Because he's going to have stretches where he hits 400 in front of Aaron Judge. How many times you see Soto get on in front of Judge? Next thing you know, it's two none Yanks. You need that again. Who's the leadoff hitter for the Yankees? DJ LeMahieu? 888-808-1019. Ray is in Brooklyn. Ray, you're on the fan.
Yo, Keith, thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to Yankee family. I greatly appreciate when Yankee family is on, man. So thank you for taking the call, bro. Yo, listen, it's crazy because you just took the words out of my mouth. The letters off of my thumb that I've been typing on Twitter is exactly that. All of the buffoons, right? These analytics waves or whatever we like to talk about. Oh, you know, there's no value in hits. What morons? Straight buffoonery. Like, listen, if the guy Aaron Judge turned Gleyber Torres last year from a 230 to a 330 hitter, what's he going to turn a 330 hitter?
Aaron Judge did it. Did Aaron Judge help him?
Yeah, of course. You put anybody in front of Judge. He helped Soto. He helped Torres.
Nah, I guess you could give him credit too because they got a face. They know Soto and Judge are coming up. So they're giving Gleyber fastballs, but I don't know if I can credit. Gleyber was a hitter. Gleyber's a good hitter.
When it doesn't matter, if I'm gonna play.
Yeah, he wasn't at first. The beginning of the year, he was not a good leadoff hitter. When he had nothing to play for and figured, I already screwed it up, he came alive.
Yeah. So, but listen, this guy Arraez hit 360, 359, so 360 a couple years back. The guy was hitting nearly 400 entering August. You don't think he's going to have months on the calendar year hitting over 400 for the Yankees if he did that for the Marlins? He might hit 380 for the Yankees. So, like, when people say, oh, he's not an on-base guy, excuse me, if he hit 360, he's getting on base a minimum of 36% of the time. You throw in the few walks he gets, you look at, I think he had like a 420 on base that year. He got a career 370. The guy's going to score 130 runs, just pencil it in, right, hitting in front of Judge. There's no question. That's super valuable. Plus, when the bottom of the lineup gets on base, you know, instead of having a guy who only walks, he puts the bat in the ball. He can hit sack flies with runners on base. He can move runners around. The guy would be invaluable on the team. I mean, he had a war of five.
Again, you don't have to convince me, Ray. I'm with it. Like I said, I get him. And now all of a sudden the Yankees are, after that fifth inning, after all the errors we've watched, after all the base running mistakes, and now the Yankees are holier than thou as far as a Luis Arraez. They can't go after a player like that because, please, it's not a guarantee. What if he tightens up as we're tightening this thing up? What if he locks in and he has a better year? What if he improves? He is an automatic knock, and you need that we don't have a leadoff hitter. I get him.
Yeah, Keith, wouldn't people take DJ LeMahieu hitting 330 and 350? So we know he can't do that, so why not take somebody who can? And as far as the defense, you were spot on. We already surrounded him. You know, he's not here yet or anything, but we already surrounded the team, if he were here, with great defenders who can pick him up and kind of, you know, mask him. So, like, I just don't get people. As far as, like, I wanted to talk about Bregman. I don't understand why people want Bregman. Okay, he's a great defender, but Keith, I'm looking at it. The year that the Astros got caught, right, with the scandal, he has been on a steady decline, worse, more so than Pete Alonso. And like you said before, there's a reason for this, there's a reason for that.
Worse
there's a
than
reason
Pete
why
Alonso.
Bregman is not signed yet. There's a reason why he's not signed. Dude, he's 22 home runs
Brian Cashman is not about to pay that, man. I can guarantee you that. Brian Cashman has no interest in paying him.
Keep him away. He's a third base Pete Alonso, except with better defense. Pete Alonso is better offensively. The guy is hit.
What do you think about Ha-Seong Kim? What do you think about Ha-Seong Kim? Not the KBO Ha-Seong Kim from Korea that the Dodgers signed. Padres Ha-Seong Kim, who's played shortstop, would play
potentially third base with the Yankees, and then Jazz could play second base.
Damn, honestly, Keith, you got me there. I haven't watched him much, so I could probably lean on you for that. But one thing I know for sure, listen, we need to get Arias. That'd be a great fit. And then keep Bale away from Bregman. There's a reason why he's not signed yet, man. And I appreciate you taking the call, man. You have a great night, like always.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, they're not signing Alex Bregman. They never were. Bregman turned down that money from the Astros. He probably shouldn't have. He's 30. I don't think his bat in the Crawford box, his bat is not going to play with the left field in Yankee Stadium. And after Bellinger was very open and vocal about the Astros and what they did, stealing an MVP from Judge, Bregman being one of the main guys, like, nah. They're not going to drop him in this clubhouse. Like, how many times does Brian Cashman have to remind everybody? Well, you know, when you talk about the Yankees' drought, none of us know what would have happened in 2017 if the Astros didn't cheat. Like, you think he's trying to give him a $200 million contract? He's not. So Bregman's not an option. Nolan Arenado seems to be fading. Luis Arraez, I would get him for the batting average and the leadoff spot, but also I think they want to move Jazz to second base. Arraez ain't playing third. So it's like Ha-Seong Kim. And who else did they just check on? I got to go back to my notes from the other day. They checked on somebody that wasn't very appealing to me from the Rockies and not Ryan McMahon. I was like, I guess. 888-808-1019. Let's take another call before we break here. Viva Las Vegas, my guy Joe. You got it.
Keith, how you doing?
Good. Yeah, it was Brendan Rodgers that the Yankees had conversations with.
Yeah, about the Rockies?
Yes.
Yes. So let me tell you, I don't really like that Kim guy from the Padres. I'm all in on Arraez, though, because just think about it. Arraez is projected to make about $14.6 million in arbitration. Stroman makes $19 million. Even if we said, hey, listen, we'll send you Stroman and $4.4 million, $4 million. To make up for some of that contract for Stroman, that would be a fleecing, but I think the Padres might go for it. John Morosi was saying that that there's an appetite for the Padres to get him. So, and I know Cashman's not going to spend a lot more money. So I think we should try to do that. I don't know what the holdup is.
It's A.J. Preller and Cashman. I think these guys talk a lot. Omar Minaya also has a relationship with Preller. I think they're going to figure something out.
I think we need to. And then if we could somehow, I know that I've seen some news today. I think it was Brian Hoch. How do you say his name?
Brian Hoke.
Hoke. He was saying that the Yankees have a chance with Sasaki, which wouldn't break the bank anyway. His first contract's not going to be that big. But, man, if we could have six starters in this lineup, I mean, I'm already giving Cashman the A. For this offseason, but man, he
was talking about it last night. I was saying, don't get my hopes up, don't get me hype. With the turmoil going on in the ownership of, you know, Seidler, who passed, and his wife suing Seidler's brothers for ownership of the team with the Padres, maybe Sasaki does not want to walk into that. And Sasaki's favorite player growing up was Masahiro Tanaka. And also is a mentor for him. And Tanaka was at the World Series. And I'm sure the Yankees keep in touch with Tanaka, and they're probably like, yo, bro, go ahead. Tell him to come through.
No, definitely. And one other thing I wanted to say off topic of the Yankees is, if I'm the Jets, I'm going for Lewis Riddick and Mike Vrabel, and that's it. I don't know why they're interviewing all these other people.
I don't think they can get Mike Vrabel. I think everybody is pointing to the Patriots. It just makes too much sense.
Yeah, Rex Ryan, they claim him. He's got the job, which is...
He might.
Honestly,
he may. He may.
I'm going to be honest. The Rooney Rule is something I agree with, and I find that to be kind of really insulting for a candidate to declare themselves the victor, and they're going to go out and interview, you know, African Americans and minorities. Like, does that make sense? Like, I kind of don't like that, in a way.
The Rooney Rule to me is just like I thought it was hilarious. The Patriots just interviewed Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton together on the same day and announced it. Like, Yo, we're done talking about black guys. We're about to hire Mike Vrabel this week. And it's like, come on, yo. Like, they made it so obvious. Like, yo, we got this out of the way. Rooney Rule checked off. I tweeted it out. I'm like, if the rule is, like, what's the rule in place for if the rule is going to be just skated by like that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it's a rule, and I think people should follow it. But, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, people just do the pretend, like, oh, I'm going to interview somebody. I know who I'm hiring. But for Ryan to go in and just say
why
that.
Why do you think Brian Flores was so pissed off about his situation and sued the league? Because he's like, hey, I'm a good coach. I don't want to be used as a pawn in this whole thing.
Yeah, he had a case for sure. And look at the Vikings. I mean, they're looking good. And off to the Giants, I don't want to take up too much time, but I really think they have to try to just bite the bullet and take a quarterback. I love Travis Hunter, but they need to take two quarterbacks in this draft. Who do we have? Tommy DeVito? And I understand, like, signing a bridge quarterback, but I don't know. I like the fact that we kept Dable and Shane because I don't know what else we could have done. But we can't – if we take Travis Hunter, we're punting again. And there's no guarantee. What if we have another thing next year where we win a game we shouldn't win. Now we lose out on Arch Manning or whoever. I don't know.
Taking Travis Hunter is good for business. That kid is different. And he's already a mega star.
I agree with you on that. You know, and back to the quarterback, like, I've been dreaming of, ever since I saw Lamar Jackson in college, I've been dreaming of a black quarterback. But when I saw Drew Aller play, I'm like, okay, I could put that on ice. I mean, this guy throws the ball. I mean,
he can put the ball where he wants it. He made some throws. He's got some touch, accuracy, and he is the prototypical 6'5", 240 NFL quarterback.
Your Peyton Manning type, like, he's like your Peyton Manning type, like, honestly.
Justin Herbert.
I don't really want to compare anybody. Yeah, Justin Herbert. I mean, so I'm all for it. And the reason why I like a Lamar Jackson or a Jaden Daniels is because they can run. Shador and Cam Ward aren't runners. So that kind of, like, I don't really care about black or white at that point.
Yeah, they're not runners. They're pocket passers. No.
Yeah, that's what we're going to get. If we get a quarterback, it's going to be a pocket passer. And Jackson Dart's another one. Man, he made a throw last game.
Yeah, rolling to his left.
The left, yes.
A dime on the run inside the 10. Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, that's why we got to watch it.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate you, bro. I'll see you on the Twitter sphere. We have to break. 888-808-1019. Everything is on the table. I opened up tonight starting to talk about the Knicks, the Nets, and even the Oklahoma City Thunder Cavs game and how, you know, teams are built through the draft and there's only so much you can do trading away picks and signing free agents. You got to have some core players from the draft. I went on to start talking about the Jets and the Giants. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the answer for either team. I think both should move on. As far as the coach search for the Jets, I think they should keep looking. And if they cannot find anyone better than Rex Ryan, I guess you default into Rex Ryan again. But, like, I wouldn't want to double back. And now the hot stove is somewhat warm. And we're talking about the Yankees, Luis Arraez, Ha-Sung Kim, who's going to be the infielder that the Yankees sign. How are they going to get rid of Marcus Stroman's money? What are they going to do here? 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I will be right back. Yeah, no Rangers talk tonight. Well, actually, let's go Devils. We got Devils Rangers at the Garden coming up tonight. Expect the Rangers to get smacked again. The Devils have been owning them little get back from last year. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. You know the drill. Call up. Got a full rack of calls. People trip me out. You know, I'll be online and you know, I'll read some. People be like, yeah, your show is unlistenable. Or, what did I read today? I don't even care anymore. I don't even be responding to people at this point now. I think I put out something. I got to read it because it's funny. I'm like, people don't know how the radio works. So there was a picture of Alex Verdugo. SNY Mets put it out. And it says the Mets are involved in talks with Alex Verdugo. So all I did was quote tweeted and put on brand. And somebody wrote, you know, he'll excel more with the Mets than he did with the Yankees. So my response to that was, you know, no pressure. And someone responded, yeah, no pressure like your show because no one's listening. And then like 10 people liked the tweet. I'm like, yo, you guys know how the radio works? Like, do you know how many people have actually heard my show now in year four? You know, there's always somebody listening. I just said I have a full rack of calls. You know, I always have calls. You might hate me. You might think I'm terrible at this. But there are a ton of people that disagree. 888-808-1019. There are people up at 12:45 at night, chilling, listening to conversation, listening to thoughts, listening to takes. And I don't think you know how the radio works if you think there's no one ever listening to my show. Even when C-Mac comes up, you guys say, this is New York. This is the city that never sleeps. Another like little like radio lesson for you. In other cities, it's automated. Even in this city, the other sports station, they will automate the nighttime with a national show. On WFAN, you get a live host all through the night, taking your calls, talking New York sports and beyond. They do not do that everywhere. 888-808-1019. So even when C-Mac comes through to do the overnight, so you can't joke on us. You can't, oh, you do the graveyard shift. You do the night shift. You can't get in here. You can't do the shift. What time does your show start? You're not taking a dig at me by saying no one listens to my show because I'm on at night. No, there are thousands of people listening and more tomorrow when they wake up and listen on podcasts or listen on the free Odyssey app. And I appreciate every single one of y'all, especially Ronald Reed. I don't know if this will get to Ronald Reed, but man, Ronald Reed put out a post that this girl that I haven't seen in years, this girl, like, I haven't seen this girl so long, her nickname for me was B2K. Like, just think about that, if you even know what B2K is. Ronald Reed posted, Keith McPherson is the best sports radio show on any radio station and satellite. And somebody said to him, settle down. And he said, don't tell me to settle down. Name someone who's better. You can't. He's the best at it, hands down. I've listened to DiPietro, Rothenberg. I've listened to Max, Keyshawn. I've listened to all of these guys. I listen to The Fan every morning. I listen during the day, Satellite. I listen to Mike, Mad Dog over the years, Greenberg. Nobody's delivery is better than McPherson. And you're probably only saying this because he's a Yankees fan. And he goes on to say a bunch of other things. But I'm like, man, when that screenshot got sent to me, I'm like, yo, I got to give him a shout out. Appreciate you all. Whether you like me or you don't like me. I appreciate you. I started off this year saying anybody that writes negative about me, all you do is help me because somebody is going to read, oh, this guy sucks or I hate this guy's show. And then they're going to go find out for themselves and just do the math. If it's 50-50, right, two people read the comment and they go listen to my show or they go look at my Instagram, they go look at my Twitter, they go find out who I am. One might be like, yeah, he does suck. The other might be like, actually, I like this guy. Actually, I like what I hear. Let's go to Connecticut. Ari, you're on The Fan. What's up, man?
Hey.
Or is it Arya? Arya? How's your name pronounced? I'm sorry. It's spelled A-R-Arya. A-R-Y-E-H?
Yep.
Got it.
So I'm a big Jets fan. I'm also a big Jordan Travis fan. What do you think about Jordan Travis being the Jets quarterback next year? Or maybe getting Justin Fields and letting Justin Fields, Jordan Travis, and Tyrod Taylor battle it out.
You say you're a big Jordan Travis fan. Did you watch him at Florida State?
Yeah.
I grew up a Florida State fan. I did watch him at Florida State. Stature and size-wise, I'm bigger than Jordan Travis. They list him at 6'1", 200. I don't know if he's even that. He's athletic.
No, last year he was playing.
Say that again?
Last year until he got hurt.
Yeah. And, you know, Florida State got a raw deal. They ended up not making the playoff. But, like, I keep hearing his name come up just because he's a name. I don't know if his skill set is going to translate to the NFL. What I liked the most about him was his Houdini acts. Like, he could get out of the pocket, make a throw. He could scramble, make a play. I don't know if that is going to be the case in the NFL where everybody's bigger, stronger, and faster. He's going to have to be more of a down-the-field passer, reading defenses, a quicker decision-maker. I'm rooting for the kid, though. Coming back from that gruesome injury.
What about getting Justin Fields and letting Tyrod Taylor, Justin Fields, and maybe him battle out for a starter?
I'd like that better than just saying Aaron Rodgers, here you go again. Tyrod's under contract. Yeah, Justin Fields is going to definitely want out of Pittsburgh after Rod and Pine. And a quarterback room of Tyrod Taylor, Justin Fields, and Jordan Travis, those are three good athletes. And you need a good athlete at the quarterback position this day and age.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Every day I hear somebody mention Jordan Travis, and I'm like, he hasn't played. He's undersized. I heard someone say that he would have been a top pick in last year's class. No, he wouldn't have. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Bats. Bats, you're on the fan. What up, man?
What's up, Keith? What's going on, man? Long time, first time.
Appreciate you.
Yo, man, I had to call in, bro, because that take you had on Travis Hunter was pure fire. And the delivery of it.
Which one?
The one when you said, well, you know, Travis, he's going to be a safe pick for the Giants. You know, you don't got to worry about him. He going to go home. Matter of fact, he going to go sit in his car while his girl go grinding in the club. Yo, crazy work right there, my brother. Crazy work, because your callers probably don't even know how that just probably went over their head. You know what I'm saying? There's so many memes with that guy on Instagram and Twitter, where some dude was doing this thing where he was in his car and the girl gets out and he says, are those your brothers? And she goes dancing like 5 feet from them and they smacking her on the tush. Oh, my goodness, man.
I seen all of it. That's where I'm coming from. Like, I can only go off of what I see on my phone.
I was like, are you kidding me? But, yeah, man, I just want to say, yo, I'm a big fan of yours, man, from, like, day one. Yo, I work nights. I work for New York City Transit, so... You know, you and your takes, you know, keep me up overnight. And like I said, I got the radio on. Like I said, all them haters where, you know, they say Keith ain't doing this, ain't doing that. Let me tell you, my brother, you're knocking it out the box. You know what I'm saying? Your style, your delivery, your flow, that right there is a change of game for the radio industry. So you can tell all them other haters go kick rocks, my brother.
Heard you. Big facts. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, like, just that alone, right? Like, because I'm an internet head, like before I did radio, I was a social media manager and I wanted to change my career. And I knew I needed to get experience doing social media because it was just my way in. I'm coming up on 10 years since I started working at MTV in March, which was my big break. I went from thinking I was going to work at Home Depot down the street from my mom's crib, walking to work every day, to getting on the bus from exit 109 down the shore and coming to Port Authority every day and walking from Port Authority to MTV in Times Square. But working 2.5 years behind the scenes at MTV, I learned a ton about the internet and just, you know, just reading things on the internet. And I parlayed that experience into working at Fubo TV. And then I left Fubo TV and worked at Roc Nation. And I didn't work at Roc Nation for long until I was like, yo, I've learned enough about how social media works. I need to take this information, this skill set, and start applying it to building my own name, image, likeness, building my own brand. And in my back pocket was a radio and television degree. I went to school for communication at Monmouth University. I always wanted to be on the radio, be on TV. And I knew that was my opportunity to shift, to change gears and say, all right, well, boom. You know, I was able to do this stuff to get into New York City, to have a job in New York City, to get some on my resume. But now I need to roll the dice and take a chance. And through the grace of God, it worked. So that's why I'm even here. 888-808-1019. I don't know how many guys you'll hear on the fan that even know some of the stuff that really goes on in between the comments and replies or whatever. That's why I even mention haters. People always like, ignore the haters, ignore the haters. I am ignoring them. If I wasn't ignoring them, I'd just stay home, right? I wouldn't do the show. If they were affecting me, I wouldn't post anything. I wouldn't. But, like, I am on the internet all day. I understand trends. I did my KM to AM. We came back. I was like, I might swerve, bend that corner. Whoa. Like, I'm just like that. Like, I just understand the digital age, the younger people, sports fans. Like, how do I know that stuff about Travis Hunter? Like, I'm on TikTok. How did I know that stuff about, like Bats just said? Like, he liked that line because I'm able to take that internet information and turn it into a take. Yeah, the Giants should draft Travis Hunter. He's a safe pick. Why? Because he doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't party. He drops his girl off at the party so she can grind on a guy wearing a LeBron St. Vincent St. Mary's high school jersey while he's, I don't know, playing Nintendo Switch in the whip. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan on the Fan.
Hey, King, I just want to say, first of all, as a broadcast student on Long Island, I really, really appreciate what you're doing and avoiding the haters. And you know what? Radio's alive and well. Doesn't matter if it's 12 a.m., 5 a.m.
Yep.
I love what you're doing. I love the show, man.
Thanks, Chris.
I really appreciate it. And I want to say, looking at the Yankees, you know, I really like the moves that they've made. I think when all is said and done, I think missing out on Soto is going to be worth it because the Mets are going to spend a lot of money on him. They have the money. It's okay. It's a little dirty money, but it's okay. I think that we got our bag here, and I like Arise. I agree with you 100%. I've had him on my fantasy team a couple of years, and he has those stretches where he's hitting 400 and in front of a guy like Judge, in front of a guy like Bellinger. And I think that Goldschmidt's going to have a comeback year too. I really want to see what we're able to do with a guy like Arise, and I think at the end of the day, Bregman is a guy we can't have because it's too messy with that Astros beef in 2017 and 2019.
And he's too expensive, and they put the qualifying offer on him, and we're not giving up a pick for him, and Cashman would never. So yeah, Bregman was never an option, and another Boris guy. Like, nah, it was never going down.
Yeah, I think I would have loved to have seen them add Burns, too, add some more pitching. You can never add too many pitching.
You know what Burns did, right? Burns was never coming over here. Burns didn't even want to be in Baltimore. He stayed in Arizona where he already lives, and it's cheaper to stay. He was never coming to the Yanks.
Yeah, he was also unhealthy a bit last year, too.
Yeah, so in theory, we wanted Burns when we could trade for him before Baltimore did, but he wasn't going to sign to play in New York. Max Fried wanted to come play for New York. When he heard the Yankees were interested, he said he perked up. Like, oh, okay, really? Like, yeah, let me pull my seat in closer and listen. Thanks for the call, Chris. Good luck out there in broadcasting school. For all of you guys that are grinding away, whatever you're doing in school, whether you're trying to be on the radio or not, man, just put in the work. You're a product of the work that you put in. You will get out of it what you put into it. People want to duck the grind. People think that they can use social media and skip the line. People think, oh, I'm just going to blow up with my podcast, or I'm just going to get a bunch of followers. Nah, you need to learn something, and you need to be humble. You need to work for somebody. You need to do some stuff in the background, and all of that will prepare you for when you get on. All right, I got one more hour, 888-808-1019, KM to 2 AM, returns right after this.